Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
The first thing I'm gonna do when I get out is pay a little visit to you and see if we can't sort this whole mess out. The warden said it's what I should do. You sold all my guns and my four-wheel drive. You sold all my decoys and bait. You gave all my ammo and tackle away. I'm counting down to my freedom date. The first thing I'm gonna do is pay a little visit to you. The first thing I'm gonna do when I get out is pay a little visit to you. The warden said it's what I should do. I'm gonna drop in on you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is word for word, and I'm Pastor Steve, and I just sort of had a wild hair today. You know, I played that little ditty by Unknown Henson, and I hope you enjoyed it. It's good fun. We are coming down the end of the book of Jasher here in these shows. I'm going to do chapters 85, 86, and 87 today. It has been an interesting read, full of information that you just don't get in the King James. And this is, what is this? My 364th word-for-word show. That's not counting the reruns. I had to start doing reruns because so many new people had come in and they'd missed all the prior shows. So I've been running on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I've been running reruns. This show is for April the 2nd, and tonight is going to begin. I think I've got that right. Let me look at the official calendar here. Yeah, tonight begins at sundown begins Passover. So then follows the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that will go all the way through the evening of the 10th into the morning until the evening of the 11th. And then that's that last day, that is Abib 22. It runs from sundown to sundown. crosses over from one day to the next day. That's the High Shabbath. So we're coming this evening is going to be Passover. So I'm gone. I'm pre-recording this well in advance so I can get out of town, make like a bandit and get out. And I'm just looking forward to this so much. It's going to be a great fellowship, and going to get to meet friends that are on the other end of the listening audience, and they all gather, and we just, oh, it's a blessing, believe me. Keep the feast, folks, keep the feast. But let's get my website here, and then I'll get in, I'll launch into chapter 85 of the Book of Jasher. My website is HTTPS, as in sugar. That means it's a secure site. :// www.pastor-steve.com. And all my shows are there. Word for Word, Wake Up Call, all the way back when. And then I've got two seed line links for all the other two seed line sites. And how to get my copy of the Torah and things for sale. And it's a good little site. It's not interactive. You can't go there and troll with a bunch of crazy opinions and nasty comments and whatever. So that eliminates them. I don't have the time to babysit. And trolls are babies. And I just, I don't have time to fool with them. My site is for people that seriously want to learn something and enjoy what I've done. And that's what I've done it for, is for your benefit. So let's get into chapter 85 of the Book of Jasher. That is Sefer HaYashar. Jasher's not a person's name. It means the upright. It is the scroll of the upright. Verse 1, and King Arad, the Kenani, that's the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard that the Israeli had come by the way of the spies, and he arranged his forces to fight against the Israelites. They were going into the promised land. You can reference Numbers chapter 21, verse 1 on that. Verse 2, and the children of Israel were greatly afraid of him, for he had a great and heavy army. So the children of Israel resolved to return to Mitzrayim. Verse 3, and the children of Israel turned back about the distance of 3 days' journey into Maserath Beni Yaakon. For they were greatly afraid on account of the king Arad. Verse 4. And the children of Israel would not get back to their places, so they remained in Beni Yaakon for 30 days. Verse 5. And when the children of Lewi saw that the children of Israel would not turn back, they were jealous for the sake of Yahweh, and they rose up and fought against the Israelites, their brethren, and slew of them a great body, and forced them to turn back to their place, Mount Hor. Verse 6. And when they returned, King Arad was still arranging his host for battle against the Israelites. In other words, they had to whoop up on their own people. We're going to have that coming up. We're going to have Israelites that are going to just lay down in front of the enemy. Oh, please don't hurt us. We'll do whatever you want. And they're camped over there, about 5 miles that way. We'll have rats. Don't you doubt it, folks. Don't doubt it. There's going to be those that are not among the army of Gideon. They're not going to be faithful. They're going to be tested. And they're going to fail the test. And woe be unto them. That's all I can say. If they don't have enough faith, then they will betray us. Betraying us, the remnant, is betraying Yahweh. It's turning against Yahweh. Don't try to deny that. Okay? You're either with Yahweh or you are not. You either are Yahweh's people or you are not. And if you separate yourself from the remnant and you lose your faith and you wimp out, you have chosen the world instead of Yahweh. And that's what these people did. All right, in verse 7. And Israel vowed a vow, saying, this was to Yahweh, if you will deliver this people into our hands, then we will utterly destroy their cities. They have Israel vowed a vow, saying, if you will deliver this people into my hand. Israel wasn't alive. They were speaking as a group. So, and here's verse 8, and you can reference Numbers 21, verse 3. And Yahweh hearkened to the voice of Israel, and he delivered the Canaanite into their hand, and he utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And the ones that were, they didn't kill of Israel, the Lewium, now they were warriors too. Don't you kid yourself. The rest were humbled before Yahweh. The doubters. They always had a bunch that just wasn't with the program. Well, we got them today. Verse 9, and the children, you can reference Numbers 21, verse 11. And the children of Israel journeyed from Mount Hor and pitched in Oboth, and they journeyed from Oboth, and they pitched at Ye-Abarim in the border of Moab. Verse 10, and the children of Israel sent to Moab, saying, let us pass now through the land into our place. But the children of Moab would not suffer the children of Israel to pass through their land, for the children of Moab were greatly afraid lest the children of Israel should do unto them as Sihon, king of the Amori, had done to them, who had taken their land, who had slain many of them. Verse 11. Therefore Moab would not suffer the Israelites to pass through their land. And Yahweh commanded the children of Israel, saying that they should not fight against Moab, so that the Israelites removed from Moab. Verse 12. And the children of Israel journeyed from the border of Moab, and they came to the other side of the Arnon, the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amori, that's Amorites, and they pitched in the border of Sihon, king of the Amori, in the wilderness of Kedemoth. Okay, those are the Amorites. verse 13, and you can reference Numbers 21, verse 21. And the children of Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, "Let us pass through your land." They were just trying to get to the other side. "We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will go along by the king's highway until we shall have passed your border." But Sihon would not suffer the Israelites to pass. Okay, verse 15. So Sihon collected all the people of the Amori and went forth into the wilderness to meet the children of Israel, and he fought against Israel in Yahaz. Verse 16, and Yahweh delivered Sihon, king of the Amori, into the hand of the children of Israel, and Israel smote all the people of Sihon with the edge of the sword and avenged the cause of Moab. Because Sihon was one of the cursed seeds. He was an Amorite and a pagan, and they just really put it on him. Verse 17, and you can reference Numbers 21, verse 24. And the children of Israel took possession of the land of Sihon from Aram unto Yabuk, unto the children of Ammon, that's the Ammonites. And they took all the spoil of the cities. Verse 18. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amori. They just took the land. Now, let's stop. The Amorites, the Amori, had taken the land from the Moabites. This was still called the land of Moab, but it was occupied territory by Sihon and the Amorites. Israel comes in and wipes them out and then occupies the land. Fast forward to the book of Ruth. Ruth was an Israelite living in the occupied land of Moab after they had destroyed the Amori. Okay? So she was not a Moabite by race, but by national occupation. They had taken that land. And it was still called the land of Moab, because the Amori took it from the Moabites, but it still had the name of Moab. And Israel wiped out the Amori and occupied that land. So it was Israelite-occupied territory by Israelites. She wasn't a Moabite. So that's another little correction that I needed to make. Ruth was an Israelite. Verse 19. And all the children of Israel resolved to fight against the children of Ammon to take their land also. So, verse 20. So Yahweh said to the children of Israel, "Do not besiege the children of Ammon, neither stir up battle against them, for I will give nothing to you of their land." And the children of Israel hearkened to the word of Yahweh, and did not fight against the children of Ammon. Verse 21, and you can reference Numbers chapter 21, verse 33. And the children of Israel turned and went up by the way of Bashan to the land of Og, king of Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, went out to meet the Israelites in battle. And he had with him many valiant men and a very strong force from the people of the Emori. And he was a giant. Okay. Verse 22, and Og, king of Bashan, was a very powerful man, but Naharon, his son, was exceedingly powerful, even stronger than he was. And Og said in his heart, behold, now the whole camp of Israel takes up a space of 3 parsa. That's but 4 miles, and that is a Talmudical term. So they got a hold of that as well and modified a few things. I mean, there's very, very few things they haven't tampered with. Takes up a space of 3 parsa. Now will I smite them at once without sword or spear? Verse 24. And Og went up to Mount Yahaz and took therefrom 1 large stone, the length of which was 3 parsa. And he placed it on his head and resolved to throw it upon the camp of the children of Israel to smite all the Israelites with that stone. Pretty fanciful here. Verse 25. I'm reading what's in the book, okay? Verse 25, and the messenger of Yahweh came and pierced the stone upon the head of Og, and the stone fell upon the neck of Og, that Og fell to the earth on account of the weight of the stone upon his neck. Verse 26, at that time Yahweh said to the children of Israel, be not afraid of him, for I have given him and all his people and all his land into your hand, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon. Verse 27. And Moshe went down to him with a small number of the children of Israel, and Moshe smote Og with a stick at the ankles of his feet and slew him. Might have been with that rod that he had that could do all kinds of things. Don't know. Verse 28. The children of Israel afterward pursued the children of Og and all his people, and they beat and destroyed them till there was no remnant left of them. Verse 29. Moshe afterward sent some of the children of Israel to spy out Yahazer, for Yahazer was a very famous city. Verse 30. And the spies went to Yahazer and explored it, and the spies trusted in Yahweh, and they fought against the men of Yahazer. Verse 31. And these men took Yahazer and its villages, and Yahweh delivered them into their hand, and they drove out the Emori who had been there. Verse 32, and the children of Israel took the land of the 2 kings of the Emori, that's Amorites, 60 cities which were on the other side of the Jordan, that's the Jordan River, from the brook of Arnon unto Mount Hermon. Verse 33, and you can reference Numbers 22, verse 1. And the children of Israel journeyed and came into the plain of Moab, which is on this side of the Jordan by Jericho. Verse 34. And the children of Moab, and the children of Moab heard all the evil, or the harm, which the children of Israel had done to the two kings of the Amori, to Sihon and Og. So all the men of Moab were greatly afraid of the Israelites. Verse 35, and the elders of Moab said, behold, the two kings of the Amori, Sihon and Og, who are more powerful than all the kings of the earth, could not stand against the children of Israel. How then can we stand before them? Verse 36, surely they sent us a message before now to pass through our land on their way, and we would not suffer them. Now they will turn upon us with their heavy swords and destroy us. And Moab was distressed on account of the children of Israel, and they were greatly afraid of them, and they counseled together what was to be done to the children of Israel. Verse 37, and the elders of Moab resolved and took one of their men, Balak, the son of Zippor, the Moabite, and made him king over them at that time. And Balak was a very wise man. Verse 38, and the elders of Moab rose up and sent to the children of Midian to make peace with them, for a great battle and enmity had been in those days between Moab and Midian from the days of Hadad, the son of Bedad, king of Edom, who smote Midian in the field of Moab unto these days. Verse 39, and the children of Moab sent to the children of Midian, and they made peace with them. And the elders of Midian came to the land of Moab in peace, behalf of the children of Midian. Verse 40, and the elders of Moab counseled with the elders of Midian what to do in order to save their lives from Israel. And here's verse 41, and you can reference Numbers 22, verse 4. And all the children of Moab said to the elders of Midian, now, therefore, the children of Israel lick up all that are around about us as the ox licks, up the grass of the field. For thus did they to the two kings of the Amori, who are stronger than we are. Verse 42. And the elders of Midian said to Moab, we have heard that at the time when Sihon was king of the Amorites, fought against you, when he prevailed over you and took your land, he had sent to Beor, the son of Yanias, and to Balaam, his son from Mesopotamia, and they came and cursed you. Therefore did the hand of Sihon prevail over you, that he took your land. Verse 43. Now, therefore, send you also to Balaam his son, for he still remains in his land, and give him his hire, that he may come and curse all the people of whom you are afraid. Okay. So the elders of Moab heard this thing, and it pleased them to send to Balaam, the son of Beor. Here's verse 44. And you can reference Numbers 22, verse 5. So Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent messengers to Balaam, saying, here's verse 45, behold, and you can reference Numbers 22:11 on this, behold, there's a people come out of Mitzrayim. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Verse 46. Now, therefore, come and curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail to fight against them and drive them out, for I heard that he whom you bless is blessed, and to whom you curse is cursed. Well, he was a magician, sorcerer. Verse 47, so the messengers of Balak went to Balaam and brought Balaam to curse the people to fight against Moab. Verse 48, and Balaam came to Balak to curse Israel, and Yahweh said to Balaam, Yahweh spoke to him, even though he was on the other side. Verse 49. Or 48. And came, and Yahweh said to Balaam, curse not this people, for it is blessed. Verse 49. And Balak urged Balaam day by day to curse Israel, but Balaam hearkened not to Balak on account of the word of Yahweh, which he had spoken to Balaam. He was terrified. Okay. Verse 50. And when Balak saw that Balaam would not accede to his wish, he rose up and went home. And Balaam also returned to his land, and he went from there to Midian. You can reference Numbers 24, verse 25. Verse 51. And the children of Israel journeyed from the plains of Moab and pitched by the Jordan, that's the Jordan River, from Beth Yeshimoth even unto Abel Shittim at the end of the plains of Moab. Verse 52. And you can reference Numbers chapter 25, verse 1. Now remember, Moab was cursed seed, a child of incest, and they were not to mingle with them. Verse 52, and when the children of Israel abode in the plain of Shittim, they began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. They were fooling around, mixing with cursed seed. Let me get a little drink of this coffee. Doing what they had not ought to do. Verse 53. And the children of Israel approached Moab, and the children of Moab pitched their tents opposite to the camp of the children of Israel. Verse 54. And the children of Moab were afraid of the children of Israel, and the children of Moab took all their daughters and their wives of beautiful aspect and comely appearance, and dressed them in gold and silver and costly garments. And verse 55, and the children of Moab seated those women at the door of their tents in order that the children of Israel might see them and turn to them and not fight against Moab. They're going to whore pimp out their wives and daughters. Ah! Verse 56. And all the children of Moab did this thing to the children of Israel, and every man placed his wife and daughter at the door of his tent. And all the children of Israel saw the act of the children of Moab. And the children of Israel turned to the daughters of Moab and coveted them, and they went to them. They took them up on it. They were fooling around with their wives and daughters. verse 57. And it came to pass that when a Hebrew came to the door of the tent of Moab and saw a daughter of Moab and desired her in his heart and spoke with her at the door of the tent that which he desired, while they were speaking together, the men of the tent would come out and speak to the Hebrew like unto these words. Verse 58. And remember, these are cursed by incest, okay? Surely you know that we are brethren. We are all the descendants of Lot. Yeah, by his daughters. And the descendants of Abraham, his brother. Wherefore then will you not remain with us? And wherefore will you not eat our bread and our sacrifice? They sacrificed to pagan gods. We were commanded not to eat of that. So there's the double deception right there. Verse 59. And when the children of Moab had thus overwhelmed him with their speeches, they enticed him by their flattering words, and they seated him in the tent and cooked and sacrificed for him, and he ate of their sacrifice and of their bread. Sin right there. Boom. Wickedness. Verse 60. They then gave him wine, and he drank and became intoxicated, and they placed before him a beautiful damsel. And he did with her as he liked, for he knew not, as he had drunk plentifully of wine. He was drunken and was fooling around with a Moabite woman. Verse 61. Thus did the children of Moab to Israel in that place, in the plain of Shittim, and the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Israel on account of this matter. And he sent a pestilence among them, and there died of the Israelites 24,000 men. Here we go. Verse 62. Now there was a man of the children of Shimeon, whose name was Zimri, the son of Salu, who connected himself with the Midianite Cosbi, the daughter of Zur, king of Midian, in the sight of all the children of Israel. Verse 63, and they were not to mess around with the Midianites either. Verse 63, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aharon, the priest, saw this wicked thing which Zimri had done, and he took a spear and rose up and went after them and pierced them both and slew them. And the pestilence ceased from the children of Israel. And you can reference Numbers 25. Verses 7 and 8. The Phinehas priesthood. Because he was of the priest class. Now we're in chapter 86. The next two chapters are real short. I read the long one. Verse 1 of chapter 86, and you can reference Numbers 26, verse 1. At that time after the pestilence, Yahweh said to Moshe and to Eleazar, the son of Aharon the priest, saying, number the heads of the whole community of the children of Israel from 20 years old and upward, all that went forth into the army. Verse 3, and Moshe and Eleazar numbered the children of Israel after their families, and the number of all Israel, now this is just men, was 700,730. Verse 4, and the number of the children of Levi from 1 month old and upward was 23,000, And among these there was not a man of those numbered by Moshe and Aharon in the wilderness of Sinai. They had all died out. Verse 5, where Yahweh had told them they would die in the wilderness, so they all died, and not one had been left of them, excepting Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Yahshua, the son of Nun, because they were faithful. They were not punished. Verse 6. And it was after this that Yahweh said to Moshe, say unto the children of Israel to avenge upon the children, upon Midian, the cause of their brethren, the children of Israel. So they were fooling around with the Moabites, and then there was this woman of Midian there, and she fooled around with Zimri, and Phinehas killed them both. This is complicated. And you can reference Numbers 25, verses 17 and 18, and Numbers 31, verse 2. Verse 7, and Moshe did so, and the children of Israel chose from amongst them 12,000 men, being 1,000 to a tribe, and they went to Midian. Verse 8, and the children of Israel warred against Midian, and they slew every male, also the five princes of Midian. And here we go. And Balaam, the son of Beor, did they slay with sword. He got caught over in Midian, and they killed him. Verse 9. And the children of Israel took the wives of the Midianites captive with their little ones and their cattle and all belonging to them. And they took all the spoil and all the prey, and they brought it to Moshe and to Eleazar to the plains of Moab. Verse 11, and Moshe and Eleazar and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them with joy. Verse 12, and they divided all the spoil of Midian, and the children of Israel had been revenged upon Midian for the cause of their brethren, the children of Israel. All right, now you have to understand that they had gotten into idol worship, the children of Midian. But the Midianites were Adamic seed line. And they were against Yahweh because they were idol worshipers, and they killed all the men, and they took all the women and children, and they were going to raise them in Yahweh worship. And we're going to end all of that. So, here we are. That's the end of chapter 86. It's only 12 verses. And here is chapter 87. At that time, Yahweh said to Moshe, behold, your days are approaching to an end. Okay. Take now Yahshua, the son of Nun, your servant, and place him in the tabernacle, and I will command him. It's going to be the replacement. And Moshe did so. Verse 2. And Yahweh appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood at the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 3. And Yahweh commanded Yahshua, the son of Nun, and said to him, this is classic, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the children of Israel to the land which I swore to them. I will be with you. Verse 4. And Moshe said to Yahshua, be strong and courageous, for you will make the children of Israel inherit the land, and Yahweh will be with thee. He will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Be not afraid nor disheartened. Verse 5. And Moshe called to all the children of Israel and said to them, you have seen all the good which Yahweh, your Elohim, has done for you in the wilderness. Verse 6. Now therefore, observe all the words of this law, that's Torah, and walk in the way of Yahweh your Elohim. Turn not from the way which Yahweh has commanded you, either to the right or to the left. Verse 7. And Moshe taught the children of Israel statutes and judgments and laws to do in the land as Yahweh had commanded him. Okay, now see, all the old people had died. This is a whole new crop of people that he had to teach. Verse 8, and he taught them the way of Yahweh and his laws. Behold, they are written upon the book of the Torah of Yah, which he gave to the children of Israel by the hand of Moshe. Verse 9, and Moshe finished commanding the children of Israel, and Yahweh said to him, saying, go up to the Mount Abarim, and die there, and be gathered unto your people as Aharon your brother was gathered. Verse 10, and you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5. And Moshe went up as Yahweh had commanded him, and he died there in the land of Moab, by the order of Yahweh, in the 40th year from the Israelites going forth from the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 11, and the children of Israel wept for Moshe in the plains of Moab for 30 days, and the days of weeping and mourning for Moshe were completed. Okay, and that ends chapter 87. Now we're going to take up chapter 88 and 89. That's going to be on Wednesday, the 4th of April. I'm going to record that early, and it'll be played on the 4th of April. Again, I am at Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread during this broadcast. This is pre-recorded at my home, and it will be put into the server to be played while I am gone. I urge all of you to keep these feasts. These are not suggestions. This is a commanded feast. This particular feast you can keep at home. Now you have to get all the leaven out of your house Not, you can't just sit it aside outside. You got to throw it away. That's bread, crackers, cookies, anything with yeast in it, with leaven. That's leaven. That's a commandment, not a suggestion. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of trouble. You're either with Yahweh or you're not. You're going to follow what he says or you're not. Yep, choose. And all these things seem like little things. Oh, he's not going to worry about it. Yeah, he does. You're either going to obey him or you're not. He's not. Your time's coming down the end here, folks. You're running out of time. And this is not the time to be disobedient, I'll tell you. Wrong time. You're coming close to the end here. And you need to fear Yahweh. Not like he's going to come and do evil to you, but you need to fear his authority and to be obedient. And if you don't, the consequences are pretty heavy. You know, I'm sorry if it displeases you and it upsets your lifestyle. But what's more important, your lifestyle or Yahweh, or being obedient to the Father that created us? What's more important than that? Really? What? We got a choice to make. Choosing to observe the feast is one of them. Choosing to observe the manner of the feast is one of them. Got to get rid of all the leaven in your house completely. Oh, I just kept one little pack of cookies for the children. Wrong. You either are wholeheartedly obedient or you are wishy-washy. What's he say if you are about you being lukewarm, he'll spew you out. People think this is some kind of game or some little cult where you have to do this little rigmarole and this little thing to be part of the club. Couldn't be further from the truth. This is the divine being that created the universe. Our spiritual and physical Father. You don't mess with that. You know, if you take it that lightly, you take Yahweh that lightly, you're in trouble. There's a war coming up, folks. Physical battle. Violence, death, destruction. It's coming. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, it's coming. And you take all this lightly and, oh, well, he's a God of love and he wouldn't do that to me. No, he's not going to do that to you. You're going to do it to yourself. You're either obedient to Yahweh or not. You know, there's no shade of gray there. You can't fudge on this. There are rules and regulations which he has set down to Israel. And if you are part of Israel, you will obey those rules or you will be cast out. And there's going to be a lot of people that are just going to do it halfway. And, oh, man, yeah, that's a lot of, I don't know about that. And, okay. All I can say is, from my end, is you're going to do what you're going to do. You're going to do what you want. I can't make you. But I'm going to be with the people that are doing it, that are setting aside the time to keep this feast and these high holy days. That's my choice, okay? I can't make anybody do anything. So if you don't want to get the leaven out of your house, you want to keep bread and cookies and crackers and cake and all that stuff in your house and stuff, all the foods that have leaven in them, you do what you want. It's on your head, not mine. My house is going to be clean. Okay? How it is. I don't play with this. I don't tempt Yahweh. No. No. I've seen his miracles. I've seen the punishments that he's done to other people. I've seen the miracles he's done in my life and the goodness and how much he loves me. And I want to do everything to please him because he's my father, because it's right, because it's in my heart. His law is written in my heart. I can tell you, and I don't have to quote chapter and verse. He's given this to me. He has given me blessings and gifts. He has blessed friends of mine. A lot of these pastors that you hear on these shows are my friends. We were brought together in Yahweh. This is not a game. It's not a cult. It's not a country club. It's not a fad. It's not a hobby. It is reality. So that's about it for me. And I'll see y'all in the next broadcast. That will be on Friday. That'll be the 6th or the or no, it'll be Wednesday. I'm getting ahead of myself here. That'll be Wednesday the 4th. I'm going to record another one. And then I'll record Friday, and then I'll record for the next week. So I should finish Jasher up by this Friday on the 6th. That will be the last two chapters. Then we'll go into a book called Tobit from the Apocrypha. I'm doing the Apocrypha before I do the New Testament. So that's what's going on. So you have the Old Testament, the Intertestament period, and then the New Testament. Been a pleasure being with you today. May Yahweh bless and keep you. And I'll talk to you again on Wednesday, even though I won't really be here. But I'll speak from afar, okay? I'll be sitting by the far. praise Yahweh. I'll see y'all a little bit later. Here we go.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads us.